reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means taking your leap of faith into the unknown future with complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet in that regard said, if you all depend on Allah with due reliance, you would certainly give your provision as He gives it to birds who go forth hungry in the morning and return with a full belly at dusk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me. Oh, it's beautiful. It's extraordinary. Oh, I'm talking about Fandoqlu Forest in Ardabil Province. Hold on, please. Hold on. Can't believe it is a Caspian red deer. It will run away if it feels my presence. The Caspian red deer is one of the easternmost subspecies of red deer that is native to the Caspian Sea region in Iran. It's sometimes referred to as maral. It's really beautiful. I'm very lucky. Oh no, it ran away. Anyway, in a nutshell, here is like paradise. And there are many beautiful things to see in this paradise. Fandoqlu Forest is one of the most beautiful forests in Iran, located in Ardabil Province, northwestern Iran. Fandoqlu Forest is located in the highlands of Ardabil, near the city of Namin, This forest is somewhat different from the other ones in Iran because of its eye-catching plains, variety of wild hazelnuts, and hot water springs. Fandoglu Forest is located at an altitude of 1,500 meters and enjoys a pleasant climate. Fandoglu Forest has great beauty in spring. From May to late June, growing a wide plain of chamomile flowers along with this beautiful forest attracts many tourists to this pristine natural area. Chamomile flowers have unique healing properties, and chamomile in the form of essential oils and using it in the tea helps to relieve stress. Studies have also shown that chamomile flowers have good and positive anti-cancer properties. Wow! Look! What a passionate presence! There are many tourists here. If you happen to take a trip to Ardabil province, don't hesitate to visit this forest. This forest has no match in the world. Oh, there are many hazelnut trees here. It's a blessing. Thank God. So generous. And that is why this forest is called Fandoglu. In Farsi language, Fandog means hazelnut. And look at these raspberry bushes. Oh, I can't help myself. Very delicious. Wish you were here. percent of Fandoglu Forest are vast plains. So I'm walking toward the famous plain of chamomile flowers, which is along this forest. And the air is entirely clean and fresh. It's great. And it's so calm in here. All I can say about here is that it's a worldly paradise. It's unique, mesmerizing. It's like dreams. Oh, look at this plain. A white plain of chamomile flowers. This plain looks like postcard pictures. All I need is a camera. Good. These flowers are not just beautiful. They have many medicinal advantages. They have unique healing properties. In mid-June, there will be a big festival where the handicrafts of this region, as well as its customs and traditions, will be displayed. Yes, Iran is the land of blessings.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Iran's English language news channel, Press TV, has been targeted again. The two organizations, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, and the Center for Countering Digital Hate, or CCDH. Their accusation, in their words, Iranian state TV using social media to evade broadcast bans and spread anti-Semitic hate campaigns. That's according to their website. This is a new report that it compiled as proof that Iran's Press TV is guilty of spreading anti-Semitic hate campaigns. And this is the report. It begins with the accusation, which includes this icon, State Hate, how Iran's Press TV uses social media to promote anti-Jewish hatred. It elaborates on this and says that Press TV is a platform used to promote the Iranian state's hateful views of Jewish people, amongst other accusations. So is Press TV guilty of that? Well, for starters, if reporting on the deaths and violations of Palestinians is a crime, yes, it is. Press TV doesn't need to work that hard to cover Israeli atrocities. The Israeli regime does a good job of that, beating Palestinians, killing them, and evicting them from their homes, almost on a daily basis. Furthermore, the current fascist ministers openly threaten Palestinians, like Itamar Ben-Gvir, who has called for the execution of Palestinians who act against Israel, or the Israeli finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who has called for Palestinians to be wiped out. These are genocidal calls, but the Israeli media or organizations like the ADL do not cover this. However, looking deeper into this, it becomes clear that the driving force behind this attack on Press TV are these two men, Chris Williamson and David Miller. But who are they, and why are they being targeted? ADL's attack on Press TV became clear on why it had accused it of anti-Semitism. It had targeted Chris Williamson and David Miller because of their role in the program Palestine Declassified, as stated here. In terms of the program itself, it sheds light on Israeli atrocities against Palestinians.
But academic studies have found a long-standing pro-Israel bias within the UK's broadcast media.
They're trying to do some propaganda here to bully the BBC, which has been very, very effective.
It's because they are never properly challenged.
As if that is not alarming for the Israeli regime, the host and producer both have a rich bio when it comes to their views on Palestinians. Christopher Williamson is a British politician who was a member of Parliament for Derby North from 2010 to 2015 and again from 2017 to 2019. He's been associated with many British politicians like Jeremy Corbyn. And because of this, he has also been targeted for his role as a British MP, where he was stripped of his parliamentary pass.
Yeah, well, the first I heard about it was when I was contacted by a British newspaper called The Daily Mail. It's an absurd proposition. I mean, because people may have objections to the Iranian government.
For ADL, having a former British MP hosting a TV program for Iran's Press TV exposing Israeli atrocities is just too much to bear. Then comes David Miller, former professor at Bristol University, producer and co-host of Press TV's Palestine Declassified. He was fired from the university since he said Israel is a violent, racist, foreign regime engaged in ethnic cleansing.
Because there's a huge amount of documentation going along with the case, and that's where we will find whether the university has wrongfully dismissed me, and also whether the court will determine that I was discriminated against on grounds of my political beliefs, which is the claim that we're making.
Press TV is proud to defend the rights of Palestinians and oppressed people anywhere in the world. It has done so through its inception 17 years ago, and the station has been successful in reaching the voice of the oppressed people of Palestine to the world. Even ADL admits the incredible reach of Press TV, that although it was banned from TV and YouTube, it continues to reach up to 11.5 million followers. While Press TV enjoys this high exposure, ADL's post on Twitter had a measly 26,400 views with only 78 likes. So at the end, we ask, who is winning the social media war?
Could the turmoil in Israel prove to be terminal for the Zionist entity?
For weeks, there have been a lot of talk about Ukraine's much-discussed counter-offensive against Russia. U.S. sources say Ukraine is preparing to launch a counter-offensive against Russian forces as early as next month. But it appears that Ukraine's planned military assault, originally announced for November 2022, has been postponed indefinitely. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden is quietly preparing for the possibility that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive would fall short of expectations. The counteroffensive will attempt to retake territory, most likely in the east and south. Publicly, President Joe Biden's team has offered unwavering support for Ukraine. Pentagon documents allegedly leaked by Airman Jack Teixeira revealed that the U.S. doesn't believe Ukraine can regain any significant territory in its counteroffensive. More current assessments also don't expect much Ukrainian success. The Biden administration officials have reportedly said they don't think Kiev has the ability to sever Russia's land bridge to Crimea in the Kherson and Zaporizhia oblasts. U.S. intelligence says that Ukraine simply does not have the ability to push Russian troops from where they were deeply entrenched. Now, the administration is expected to face criticism from hawks who believe Biden hasn't given Ukraine enough weapons, as well as those who have been calling for the U.S. to push for diplomacy. Without a decisive victory, Western support for Ukraine could weaken and Kiev could come under increasing pressure to enter serious negotiations to end or freeze the conflict.
While every hour on the battlefield counts, the delay in supplying long-range missiles to Ukraine is already significant. This does not allow us to roll back the positions of Russian terrorists, in particular from Kherson, Zaporizhia, and our other cities, which are constantly shelled by Russian long-range missiles.
American and NATO allies have supplied Ukraine with extensive artillery and ammunition for the upcoming battle. But Ukraine has no guarantees of success with a counteroffensive against Russia, despite receiving Western weapons, training and intelligence support.
Yes, still there is some disagreement, but I'm sure everybody will understand that we are in a situation of extreme urgency. I'm sure that in the following days we will reach... While we look for this legal agreement, don't believe that we are just sitting and waiting. The whole work is going on. The whole work is going on. So once the legal agreement will be reached, the practical work will be finished.
According to reports, a large portion of the combat-ready, equipped and motivated cadre units of the Ukrainian forces have already been destroyed. U.S. military officials have said Western countries had managed to prepare 9 armored brigades, but experts have questioned this figure since over 830 tanks would be needed for that size of a deployment. Some experts say no more than 3 or 4 Ukrainian brigades could realistically be trained and armed by NATO and the U.S.
I said in Kyiv yesterday that Ukraine's future is in the Euro-Atlantic family, and all NATO allies have agreed that Ukraine will become a NATO member. But the main focus now is, of course, on how to ensure that Ukraine prevails.
Ukrainian officials have said their goal is to break through dug-in Russian defenses and create a widespread collapse in Russia's army. But American officials have assessed that it's unlikely the offensive will result in a dramatic shift in momentum in Ukraine's favor. Since the war began last year, the United States has discouraged peace talks and recently came out against the idea of a ceasefire in Ukraine. But now there is a discussion amongst administration officials about convincing Ukraine to accept more modest goals and agree to a temporary ceasefire. A top-secret assessment from early February stated that Ukraine would fall well short of its counteroffensive goals. More current American assessments are that Ukraine may make some progress in the south and east, but won't be able to repeat last year's success. Kyiv has ruled out negotiations with Moscow until it recaptures all the territories. But even with all Western help, big gains are not guaranteed or even necessarily likely.
Iran has imposed sanctions on more than 20 individuals and entities from the European Union and the United Kingdom. The Iranian Foreign Ministry said in a statement that the EU and UK individuals and entities were blacklisted because of supporting terrorism and terrorist groups, instigating and encouragement to terrorist acts and violence against Iranian people, interference in domestic affairs of Iran, fomenting violence and unrest in the country, dissemination of false information about Iran, and participation in the escalation of cruel sanctions against Iranian people as an act of economic terrorism. It added that Iran condemns the measures of the EU and Britain to support, facilitate, and deny from countering the destructive acts of aforementioned individuals and entities, which are in violation of international obligations regarding combating terrorism. The ministry emphasized that the acts of those individuals and entities imposing and exacerbating cruel sanctions are obvious violation of fundamental principles of international law set forth in the United Nations Charter. It added that all relevant Iranian organizations and institutions, consistent with the regulations adopted by the related authorities, will take appropriate measures, which are blocking of accounts and transactions in the Iranian financial and banking systems, blocking of assets within the jurisdiction of the Islamic Republic of Iran, as well as prohibition of visa issuance and entry to the territory of the Islamic Republic of Iran for effective implementation of the above-mentioned sanctions. Tehran slammed London and Brussels for supporting, facilitating, and failing to counter the destructive acts of the sanctioned individuals and entities, noting that such measures are in contravention of international obligations regarding the fight against terrorism. Iran's retaliatory measure came on the same day that the European Union and the UK imposed new sanctions on a number of Iranian individuals and entities over alleged human rights violations, despite the fact that the failure of such a policy has been proven many times over the past years. The European Union's Council said in a statement on Monday that it had imposed restrictive measures on 8 Iranian individuals and one entity over an allegation that they were responsible for serious human rights violations in the country. The European Union has so far imposed several packages of sanctions on a total of 211 individuals and 35 entities over the claim of gross human rights violations. The UK government followed suit and announced its decision to toughen its sanctions against the IRGC for alleged human rights violations. British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly announced a travel ban and asset freezes on four individuals and the IRGC in its entirety, and said the decision was made in coordination with the United States and the European Union, but gave no more details. More than 70 Iranian officials and entities have been made subject to UK asset freezes and travel bans since October last year. Tensions between Iran and European Union have dramatically risen amid the European Parliament's push to list the IRGC as a terrorist organization. However, EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell has clarified that the bloc cannot list the IRGC as a terrorist entity without an EU court ruling. The UN relief chief says the world body is seeking humanitarian exemptions on Western sanctions against Iran through the Security Council.
Humanitarian agencies and people like myself representing them, everywhere in the world where there are sanctions, work very hard to mitigate the impact of those sanctions in humanitarian terms, and Iran is no different from anywhere else. We are assisted in this very often by decisions from key member states to provide for an exemption through the Security Council for humanitarian operations. And we diligently pursue the implementation of those exemptions.
The Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Martin Griffiths, made the remarks while speaking at a press conference in Tehran on Tuesday following his talks with Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian. He added sanctions are applied in different ways, but our efforts to mitigate them do not differ in different countries, whether it is in Iran, in Syria, in Afghanistan, or elsewhere. He also said that the UN relief bodies are very often assisted by decisions from key member states to provide an exemption through the Security Council and through humanitarian operations, saying, "We pursue the implementation of those exemptions." He concluded, "Our interest in sanctions is not political, it's humanitarian, and it just seeks to ensure where people need humanitarian aid, sanctions do not impede their access to that aid." The United States, under former President Donald Trump, reinstated crippling sanctions on Iran after unilaterally walking out of the 2015 nuclear deal in May 2018, despite Iran's full compliance with the terms of the agreement, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Although Trump failed to achieve his professed goals with the so-called maximum pressure campaign, the waves of sanctions took a heavy toll on ordinary Iranians, including those battling life-threatening diseases. The sanctions maintained by Trump's successor, Joe Biden, have restricted the financial channels necessary to pay for basic goods and medicine, undermining supply chains by limiting the number of suppliers willing to facilitate sales of humanitarian goods to the country. Iran has repeatedly denounced the sanctions as an act of economic war, economic terrorism, and medical terrorism. More than 830 UK health professionals and representatives from leading medical bodies have signed a letter to the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, expressing grave concerns that the government's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda will cause catastrophic mental and physical harm to people seeking safety. The letter says, subjecting people seeking sanctuary in the UK, many of whom have mental health conditions and have histories of torture, trafficking, and trauma, to such an inhumane process is a matter of significant concern for the medical community. Like Brexit, the government's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda has split the UK down the middle. According to a poll carried out by a think tank this month, almost half of those surveyed back the deal. The scheme, which would see the UK pay Rwanda $145 million over the next 5 years, has faced backlash from NGOs, asylum seekers and a civil service trade union that questions its legality, leading the government to delay its execution. Under the government's illegal migration bill, the ones who do make it to the UK won't be admissible to have their asylum claim assessed, even if they are refugees coming from war-torn societies. Instead, they will face immediate removal either to their country of origin or a third country like Rwanda. The government's plan comes as most of the asylum seekers qualify to have their claims considered in the UK under international law, and the government cannot declare them inadmissible forcibly. The government insists that the plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda is workable and an essential deterrent to prevent large numbers of people crossing the channel. So far, no flights have taken place after the first scheduled flight to the African nation was stopped at the 11th hour back in June. Due to an intervention by the European Court of Human Rights, followed by months of legal challenges which have since stalled the program. Last year, a record 45,756 people crossed the channel in small boats. So far this year, more than 5,000 have made the crossing, a similar figure to this time last year before the Rwanda announcement was made. In December, the High Court in London ruled the British government's plan to send thousands of migrants to Rwanda lawful. But that decision is being challenged by asylum seekers. At the start of a four-day hearing on Monday, the refugees' lawyers argued that the plan is unlawful because the East African country is not safe. The lawyers told the court that the government had failed to tread the line between deterring migrants and remaining within Britain's human rights obligations. However, lawyers representing the British government stressed that its deal with Rwanda is subject to an exacting set of monitoring arrangements, including by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, who has intervened in the appeal. Rwanda says migrants will be treated with respect and dignity, and the deal will offer them better opportunities. One of the three judges hearing the case said the issue of the safety of Rwanda would be the core issue. The charity Freedom from Torture, which is intervening as a third party in the appeal after having provided the High Court with evidence during deliberations last year, said Home Secretary Suella Braverman's policy poses a risk. Separately, two charities are warning that the illegal migration bill could lock up thousands of refugee children who have become separated from their parents. According to an impact assessment by the Refugee Council, it estimates that about 15,000 unaccompanied children would have their asylum claims deemed inadmissible in the first 3 years of the implementation of the legislation. As a result, those children could be detained or face deportation to the country they have fled or a third country, such as Rwanda. They could also be banned from remaining in the UK as refugees when they turn 18.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. So, brothers and sisters, our today's Quranic session, inshallah, will be about verse number 85 of Surah Ali Imran on page 61. So, everybody, once listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
That was a nice recitation. Alhamdulillah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I will read it once. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. So this is an important ayah, and this is like a lot of important points are here in this ayah. Okay. Here I want to say that we'll explain it, okay, shortly, but we want you to refer to the Tafsir books, interpretations, inshallah, okay, for a complete and full explanation and details. وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. Allah Almighty says that whoever, okay, after the religion of Islam has been revealed, okay, which is the final revelation, which is the final or the most complete religion of all, okay, from Adam alayhi salam till Khatam alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, so all the religions have been the religions that have been sent to the people by Allah Almighty, okay, and the prophets who have been who have had the missions, okay, to deliver the message of Allah, the religion, to the people for the guidance, they all have been sent by Allah, heavenly what? Religions. Yes?
Yes.
And also, Islam is also the religion, the heavenly religion. So, but it is the most complete one. It is the final revelation. In the previous verses, we learned that Allah Almighty asked the prophets, yeah, to testify, to confirm, okay, to confirm the prophet, okay. Who was that prophet?
Prophet Muhammad,
that they were all, okay, they were all supposed to, what? Confirm the Prophet, okay, and also help him. In Ayah 81, we had this. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ Right? وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ Do you confirm it? Allah Almighty asked the prophets, all the prophets, okay? And they said what? وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكُمْ إِصْرِي They said, قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا We confirm it, okay? So, now Prophet of Islam is the last prophet, the final prophet, and the best of the prophets who has the most complete religion, the most updated, okay? The latest version, which is, there is not going to be any other version. This is the last and the most complete one, okay? So, this is the heavenly religion. And if anybody who has understood, who knows, okay, that Islam is the final revelation and I have to believe in Islam, and he does not believe in Islam, وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا And the one who chooses any other religion other than Islam, okay, other religions other than Islam, it shall never be accepted from him in the Day of Judgment. Okay? وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And he will be among the losers in the hereafter. So guys, the religion of Islam, which means submission to Allah Almighty, okay, which is means taslim to Allah Almighty. So all the religions, our fitrah, our nature, our like we say essence, okay, our reality talks about this, talks about tawheed, talks about the oneness of Allah Almighty. Okay.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
So I hope inshallah you go to the Tafasir book. More informations, more explanations are there, okay, available. So please inshallah learn more. Hassan, Hussein and Ali Nasir. Now inshallah we'll do the recitation as well. And the Tajweed rules we will mention. So brothers and sisters, we want them, yes? And our previous sessions are available, right? There, and they can listen to them. So, the very important Tajweed rules that we have to mention here, I want Hussein to recite once the ayah, then inshallah, step by step, we'll move on to the Tajweed rules we'll mention. So, Hussein, please, could you once recite this ayah?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
أحسنتم. Look, when you recite أعوذ بالله, we studied in Tajweed. That was a nice recitation. So now I'm going to mention some Tajweed points. Okay. So whenever you have mad, natural mad, madu tabi'i, like the alif mad, waw mad, ya mad, a, e, u, at the end of the ayah, or where you want to stop, at a word that you stop. Like, a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. G is a ya mad, yes? There is a ya mad. So whenever you have a natural mad at the end of an ayah, or where you want to stop, yeah, at the word you stop, so Tajweed says there is a mad that you should stretch it. It's called maddul arid lissukun. You should stretch this mad. It's better, okay? It's not wajib, it's not necessary, but to make it more beautiful recitation, so stretch the sound a bit. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. It's more beautiful, yes? Rajim. It shows how calm you are, okay? How calm you are. And how beautifully you recite it. And also, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You can recite it, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. But if you stretch it, it makes it more beautiful. Yes, Hassan? Am I right?
Yes.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So everyone, repeat after me. Let me recite A'udhu Billah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So ومن يبتغي ومن يبتغي. Hussein recited وَمَن يَبْتَغِي. So brothers ask us a question. How did you say وَمَي? Where is the noon? What did you do with the noon? Yeah?
Yes.
Ali Nasir, what do you say?
Because the noon is ساكن.
Uh-huh.
We will merge it with the ya.
Uh-huh.
That is called idgham.
So it's called idgham. Merging idgham or joining them, okay? Joining the sounds. So noon will be as if there is no noon. So there is a rule idgham which is applied with noon is ساكن. And also,
meme.
So tanween, right?
Yeah,
tanween and noon sakin. In Tajweed, brothers and sisters, we have four important rules, okay? For the noon sakin and tanween, because they have the same rules, okay? For noon sakin and tanween. Tanween is basically a noon sakin, yes?
Yeah.
So, we have the rule idgham, the rule idhar, the rule ikhfa, and the rule iqlab. What do we mean by them? We have explained them fully in details, okay? In the previous sessions. and the Tajweed rules. And now practical Tajweed rules, here we are. So, Nun Sakin, if the letter Nun approaches, the Nun Sakin, approaches one of these six letters. Hussein, what letters? For Idghab.
Yarmalun.
Yarmalun letters. Ya, Ra, Mim, Lam, Waw, Nun. Yarmalun. These six letters. If Nun Sakin reaches or approaches one of these six letters, okay, you have to skip the Nun and join the previous letter to that letter, okay? So Mim, now here, Waman Yabitari. Nun is a skip. Mim is merged with the Ya. You merge the Nun actually, yes?
Yes.
Because you merge it, it's omitted. So then you read Mim with the Ya. Wa may. Ya is doubled actually there. Wa may. Wa may. There is no longer Wa man. Wa may. And also Hassan, you produce what? Ghunna sound. What is that called in English?
Nasal sound.
Yes. You produce a nasal sound and also you stretch it for how many counts?
Two counts.
Two counts or two beats. Wa may. Wa may, wa may, right? Yabtaghi. There is the letter ba. How do you say that? It's sakin as well.
Yeah. Iqlab.
Iqlab.
We will bounce the sound.
Is that called iqlab or qalqala? Qalqala, right?
Yeah, sorry.
he means qalqala.
Qalqala.
So you bounce the sound. When the letter ba is sakin, you bounce the sound. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ again, yeah, فَلَيْ
yes.
يُقَ قَاف is sucking, again bounce the sound here with قَاف as well. دِينًا in the previous word. دِينًا فَلَيْ دِينًا Noon has a tanween, okay? After tanween you have fa. The rule says you should hide the sound of the tanween, which is called, Hussein? Hiding is called?
Ikhfa.
فَلَنْ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ نُنْ سَاكِنْ هَا إِظْهَار is applied here. Basically, do nothing. Just read it. مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So, the pronunciation of the letter خَا, رَا, yes? These are important, so pay attention. They are light, heavy letters. And also غَا, غَيْن, غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ So, I'll recite it once. We got 1 minute. I'll recite it. So, listen and repeat, okay? وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ
وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ
أحسنتم مِنْهُ نو مِنْهُ short vowel sound فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ أحسنتم صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم الله bless you إن شاء الله brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRB English Radio thank you so much for being with us up to this point inshallah we'll be here with you again in the coming sessions tomorrow at the same time stay with IRB English Radio thanks so much brothers thank you so much Allah Almighty bless you no questions See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن. 10 minutes.
July 12, 2022. A young man loses his temper in a court in Tehran. It's the trial of Jamshid Sharmat, the ringleader of the so-called Kingdom Assembly of Iran, also known as Tondar, a terrorist group with the blood of innocent citizens on its hands. The group also seeks the downfall of the Islamic Republic and the restoration of the ousted monarchy at any cost. Like many other terrorist opposition groups, Tondar is located in the United States. It has its own TV channel and radio station in Los Angeles, used mainly for stirring up hatred. The group also runs a website that includes dangerous contents, such as user manuals in Farsi for making improvised explosive devices. It collects funds for its terrorist activities through its Bank of America account. And although Interpol has issued arrest warrants for several of the group's senior members, they continue to live with impunity in Los Angeles and London, as well as some other Western capitals. In fact, the group enjoys widespread support from the CIA and the FBI. By their own admission, Tondar has launched dozens of terrorist attacks and killed tens of civilians in Iran. In 2006, for example, the group succeeded in an explosion of Sevand Dam in Fars province. In 2009, it carried out an improvised bomb attack on the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic. In 2010, the group admitted instigating unrest after the June 12 presidential elections. And again the same year, the European branch of Tondar claimed responsibility for the assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist Masoud Ali Mohammadi in Tehran. But under the leadership of Jamshid Sharmat, the group's ugliest attack happened in 2008. The target was a religious place in the southern city of Shiraz, where ordinary people had been holding a mourning ceremony. The attack left 14 dead and more than 200 wounded, including women and children. After the Shiraz attack, the bombers fled to Tehran. They started on their next plan to bomb several locations in the capital city, including Tehran International Book Fair. A successful operation would have been an international tragedy. Since its foundation in 2004, Tondar has been involved in bombings, arson attacks, assassinations, and leaking classified information about the country's defense and security programs. Meanwhile, with the aim of striking terror in the heart of society and pumping money into its terrorist activities, the group has planned again and again to rob banks and currency exchanges inside Iran. This is Jamshid Sharmat, Tondar's ringleader. Although the file is hardly audible, it clearly reveals Sharmat's strategy as a supposedly opposition leader in relation to the nation, indiscriminate killing of civilians, as many as possible. Sharmat has abrasively masterminded and taken responsibility for deadly attacks against his fellow Iranians. If he is not notoriously known in the world like other terrorists such as bin Laden and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that's only because many of his terrorist plots were foiled by Iran's security before being executed. The list of his terrorist plots goes on and on, from targeting oil pipelines in the south to bombing the Russian consulate in the northern city of Rasht. These are only two examples out of many. In August 2020, Iran's intelligence ministry announced that it had arrested Sharmat following a complex operation and then committed him for trial. Now he has been sentenced to death for a bevy of charges, generally labeled as corruption on earth. In reaction, some other opposition figures such as Masih Ali-Nejad, whom herself is reportedly on the CIA pay list, have condemned the sentence. After all, she is regarded inside the country as an American lackey commissioned to instigate disturbances with the final aim of so-called regime change in Tehran. Supporting a terrorist like Sharmat could reveal, to a great extent, her true colors. Meanwhile, Germany has questioned and condemned the sentence, and as a result expelled two Iranian diplomats. But the fact is, pigeonholing such trials as sham or unfair is an old technique used by the West to protect their own terrorists to the last moment and at the same time exonerating themselves from harboring terrorists. In other words, if the Germans accept the charges against Sharmat, it means they have accepted harboring a dangerous terrorist on their soil. That's why they're acting like this. But isn't it time for the West to cease financing and harboring terrorists? From their safe havens in the U.S. and Europe, dangerous criminals such as Jamshid Sharmat promote hatred, organize murder and mayhem, and shamelessly claim responsibility for the murder of innocent Iranian civilians. Enough is enough.
IRIB English Radio.